Brother Hodge, so thankful for you. I know that God's given you a word for us today.
Thank you, Pastor. What a joy to be here on a day when something very scriptural is happening. You're honoring people who serve. I've known Paul Dyer for a number of years. Matter of fact, I had to ask him this week if he's forgiven me. And you've got to be a friend to ask that. Paul reminded me that I helped him get into his first pastorate. And he said, man, that was a lot of trouble there. And I said, well, have you forgiven me yet? And he did tell me he had, so I'm thankful for that. Aren't you glad to have leadership? And the staff, I may not know them that well, but knowing your pastor and Kim, they do have that heart for people. If you don't have that kind of a heart for service, you don't take your family and move to a different country and culture. If you don't have that desire to make a kingdom difference, you don't go through those things of the tears and the agony of ministry that really happen a lot of times. I'm so honored to call this man my friend. And I'm just believing that God is going to bless this church. I'm trying to remember the first time I ever worshiped at the Alcoa Maryville Church of God. It was over on Montville Station Road. It was a long time ago. I had black hair and I was skinny. Can we sing Precious Memories? But over the years, having lived 15 years here and served on this district for 15 years of my life, I'm just so honored to be among friends. And there are some folks here today that I've actually had the privilege to be their pastor. And they're still loving Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's such an honor. And I thank you, Paul and Kim. And I'm going to try not to cry. Thank you for the way you loved my sister. She loved the two of you so much. Always spoke so highly of you. Some of you may have known my sister Wanda. Paul and Kim certainly did. And she's been gone almost 3 years now. And this couple ministered in her life. And I am so thankful for how you ministered to part of my family. Every one of these families can say, Pastor, you ministered to me. You ministered to my family. And I can join that chorus this morning. Thank you both for ministering to my family. Gail and I and my mom delighted to be here today. If you'll listen fast, now I've got a southern accent and I talk slow. But if you'll listen fast, we'll try to keep this thing moving, okay? I was really struggling a little bit this week after Pastor called. Your speaker wasn't able to be here and I was so graciously extended this opportunity. Lord, what would you have me to preach? I don't ever want to just stand up and kill time with a Bible story. I want it to be a word from the Lord. I read something in the scripture that a word fitly spoken is like an apple of gold in a setting of silver. And so I'm just believing that God's going to take the next few minutes and let that be to his glory. If I were in the church where I'm a member, someone that you went to school with, Pastor, Phil Harris. Phil and Evie are our pastors. When he gets up to preach, here's how I pray for him. Father, speak your words through his lips to my heart. Because I believe if I'm in church, God has something for me. I mean, we don't just come to occupy time and space. God meets us. We've already worshiped this morning. God's met us here. Now, when I preach, it's a little different. I say, oh, God, work a miracle somehow. Somehow speak your word in this house and let somebody receive. And that's what I'm praying today. When I heard that you have a number of folks that have been given bad diagnoses over the last while, my heart began to say, yes, I think I heard from the Lord about this morning. Everybody faces their giants. Yours may be a medical diagnosis. You've got to celebrate recovery. It may be an addiction issue. Maybe a family problem. Maybe a financial problem. But you don't live very long on this earth till you face a few giants. You don't live very long till something bigger than you looks at you and scares you. You don't live very long until something you look at and you say, I can't get past this. So what do you do? Well, let's go to the word of the Lord and talk about it. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. The story of David and Goliath. And we learned that one in children's church years ago. But let's read this story. I want to read verses 45 through 51 from 1 Samuel 17. The word says this. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." Now let's stop right here. That's a pretty big word for a boy that ain't even got a pocket knife. Forget a sword. He doesn't even have a pocket knife. He says, "I'm going to cut off your head." That's faith. Anyway, let me go on. "And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran. Second time he ran. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Killing your giants. Pray with me just for a moment. Father, take these next few minutes. Use them to your glory. Speak the truth of your word deeply into our hearts. Let something happen that will give you glory in the remainder of this time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a note taker, 5 points. Don't worry, I won't preach all of them that long. I want to just simply have a few things to tell you. And let's just go walk through a few of these things. Number one, if you're a note taker, no enemy will ever be defeated by running away from it. Now, I want to tell you, that's a normal thing. If you're a student of human behavior, you know that a lot of times when we have a problem, we do one of two things. We have fight or flight. We will run toward it or we run away from it. Most of us would prefer to run away from it. Now, there are just folks with a fighting attitude, and I understand that. There's a retired minister lives in this state who told me one time, he said, "You know, there's nothing I love better than a good old church fight." I said, "You're crazy. I like peace. I believe peace is so much more wonderful." Hey, I want to tell you, but I'm not that. But I want to tell you, when I read this story, there's the verse, and I mentioned it there back in verse 24. When Goliath comes out, he starts roaring his threats. The Bible just simply said, all the men of Israel, when they saw that man, fled from him and were much afraid. Their thing was to run away from that which they feared. That's a normal human reaction. But sometimes if you're going to deal with what's going on in your life, you got to, number one, turn around, and number two, you run and face it. You're never going to get victory on what you will not look at. I want to tell you, somebody told me years ago when I was a youngster, a matter of fact, her name was Arlene Peck. If you're a basketball fan, you may know that the first African-American woman to ever coach a team to a national championship has the last name of Peck. That's Arlene's daughter. Arlene told me the first step in solving any problem is to acknowledge you have a problem. And I want to tell you, you can't acknowledge it while you run away from it. But when you look at what is facing you, then you're on the road and the path toward victory. You got to first see your enemy before you can defeat that enemy. I want to just simply say to us today, don't be afraid of whatever you're facing. I want to tell you, I have no idea, and I didn't look it up, how many times the phrase fear not is in the Bible, but it's in there a lot. I want to tell you, we are not given. The Bible said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of peace and of a sound mind. Listen to me. Don't be afraid of what you're facing. Some of you with cancer diagnosis, let me share a little story. There was a minister's widow, and she was sitting at our dinner table one night. She had been diagnosed with cancer. She was scared. She was so scared of that cancer, she would not even say the word cancer. She would say, you know, the doctors tell me I have that C word. She wouldn't even say it. And so I had about all that I could handle sitting at our dinner table. And I finally looked at her and I said, hey, I want to tell you, let's talk about cancer for a minute. She looked at me. I said, you don't have to, number one, God's not made you afraid. You don't have to be afraid to say a word. Cancer is just a word. That's all. It's a word. And I want to just ask you, with your cancer diagnosis, what do you think is the worst thing that could happen next? Well, I may have to go to the hospital and have surgery. Okay. If you go to the hospital and have surgery, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, they may not get it all. Okay. You go to this hospital, you have surgery, they don't get it all, then what's the worst thing that could happen? I may die. I said, okay, you may have to go to the hospital, you may have surgery, they may not get it all, you may die. What's the worst thing that could happen then? She starts crying and starts smiling. She said, I get to go be with Jesus. I said, tell me what's the worst thing about that? Nothing. I want to tell you, it's all right. As long as God is in control, you can face your enemy. You don't have to tuck your head and run from it. You can run at it and say, in the name of the Lord, I shall be victorious. I don't know where the victory will come. I don't know how it will come. But I know in the name of the Lord, I am given a life of victory. You can't defeat your enemy by running away. Next slide, please. Number two. No enemy can ever be defeated when you give in to that drumbeat of negative voices. Shh. Well, it's bad. It's real bad. It's bad. If you study the life of David, before this day, before he got here, before he gets the rocks and runs toward Goliath, let me tell you the negative voices in his life. Well, he'd already been anointed to be the king of Israel. Yeah, well, let's talk about that time. He's got seven older brothers. Samuel's come to anoint one of them to be the king of Israel. His dad, his own dad, don't even bring him to the anointing service. I mean, now, how's that make you feel? You're the youngest. Now, I love this word in the Bible when it says, you know the story. Samuel came to anoint the next king to follow Saul. And it says, go to the house of Jesse down in Bethlehem. And he brings out Eliab, the oldest brother, probably the tallest. And the Lord says, Samuel says, Lord, this has got to be him. Nope, not him. And the Lord gives that beautiful verse, Hugh. Don't look on the outward appearance, because God looks on the heart. Wow. Okay, who's the next one? He comes up. Aminadab? No. Shama? No. All seven other brothers come, and the Lord says no, to where Samuel has to say, don't you have any more? I mean, God sent me to this family. I know there's somebody here, but I don't see anybody yet. He's not here yet. And said, well, there is the youngest. Well, now let's go. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but let me play with that word just a little bit. That word youngest can literally mean there's the smallest, the runt, the one evidently nobody thought had much promise. He wasn't there. Don't you feel good that, oh, in daddy's house, one of the boys is going to get anointed king. Oh, hallelujah. But it ain't you. You don't even come to the party. You stay with the sheep. Well, you know the story. He gets there, and I love the passage there. And back in chapter 16, when David's anointed, his brothers have been turned down. It said, there's this, the smallest. And then it says he's ruddy. Okay, I'm going to talk to you. There's a few of you here. That I'm going to talk to the 1 to 2% of the human race that's here today, the redheads. He was probably redheaded. There's the shortest redheaded kid, and God says, that's him. He may not have looked the part right then. He just came from the sheepfold. He's redheaded, but the Bible did say he had beautiful eyes and he was handsome. So I guess he got a little going for him. But here is this kid that even his dad didn't think he had much promise. Even his father didn't think he had what it took. But then, then there comes his brother, Eliab, a little later on. When David comes down and hears about the story of Goliath, you know what happens? David says, I'll fight him. I'll fight. I'll go take him on. I'll take this giant on. And Eliab says, you're just down here causing trouble. You can't do this. You go back, take care of those few measly sheep. You don't belong here. You get gone. But he gets taken to the king. Woo-hoo, it's going good. He stands before the king, and this king says, you can't go. His dad didn't have confidence in him. His older brothers don't feel good about him. And the king says, you can't do good. Three strikes, but he's not out. All the negatives. David could have just left and said, I'm going back to the sheep. A lot of people cave in when they hear the you can'ts. But I want to tell you, I'm here to tell somebody today, just hold on. You can get one life-changing word that can make everything different. But you can't give in to all the negatives. You can't give in to the I can'ts. You never will. I love to preach to people about who told you never. Some people say, oh, I could never do this. Well, I'm here to declare in the name of the Lord, oh, yes, you can. I want to tell somebody today, don't cave in to the drumbeats of the negativity. Hear a voice of heaven saying, I've called you, I've anointed you, I've put my hand on you, and you can do what I've given you to do. Not bad to hear that when you're about 16 years old, I suppose. Next slide, please. Number three. I want to tell you, no enemy, though, will ever prevail when you realize that the outcome of the battle is not based on your ability, but it's on God's power. Whew. You see that next slide? Let's look at this verse together, if you would, please. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He didn't say, I can get it done. He said, God will do it. I don't care what kind of giant you're facing. If you could do it by yourself, the giant would already be dead. If it was within your power, your ability, in your scope of care, then God would already have let you kill that giant. But it's a giant, and I want to tell you, it's too big for you. And let's just deal with it right now. That giant's too big. But it's not what you can do. It's what God can do. It's not that you're a giant killer. It's a God is a giant killer. It's not that you can kill this disease. It's that God is the Lord, the healer. It's not that you're the bondage breaker. He is the bondage breaker. I want to tell you, giants fall when the Lord of glory stands up and it becomes what he can do. Oh, but you just don't know what I'm facing. No, but I know who's facing it with you. Well, I'm facing this, I'm facing that. Well, join the human race. The story was told years ago of a Chinese widow who had only one son. And very suddenly that son, who is her whole support, dies. And she doesn't know what she's going to do. And says she goes to the wise man in her village and says, oh, wise man, I don't know what's going to happen. Please bring my son back from the dead. And he said, yes, I will. But first you have a quest. I'll do anything. Find a home where sorrow has never visited. She goes out and starts to walk through her village, through the adjoining villages, talking to everybody. She can't find a home where sorrow has never visited. Well, I have good news for you. Every home has faced its sorrow. Everybody has faced his giant or her giant. But I want to tell you, the Lord of glory never left you there by yourself. The Lord of glory never said, it's up to you. He said, cast your care on him, for he cares for you. It's not what you can do. It's what he can do. Next slide. Let me move quickly. Sometimes all it takes is one word of encouragement to be a life-changing Only one word may be what you need, but maybe one word standing between you and victory. David heard all those negative words. He's dealing with all this stuff. I mean, okay, for those of us who've lived in this area, and I'm graduating from high school over in Cock County. I pastored in Jefferson County. I've pastored in Blount County. I kind of know Knoxville a little bit. There used to be a place in Knoxville called Big Don's Elegant Junk. Been in there a few times. Great junk store. Saul tried to put his armor on David, and that was just elegant junk. He couldn't do a thing with it. But I want to tell you, when he said, let me do it my way, let me be who I am, then the Bible said, and Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Maybe that's why I'm here today, Pastor. Just to tell somebody, go forward. You don't have to stop where you are. You don't have to stop and wallow in worry and fear and defeat. You don't have to live in the mire of a problem. I want to tell you, just as David, when he saw that giant, I'm amazed by this. He ran toward that giant. He didn't run from him. He ran toward him. And I'm here to tell somebody today, it's okay to run right toward your problem. It's already ready time for you to run, because running is the path to victory. Running in the name of the Lord with the power of the Holy Spirit, you are going to run to victory. What does that victory look like for you? I don't know. But I just know you've got one. It may come the way you think. It may come another way. I remember there have been a lot of times I have really tried to help God with stuff. I've really told him how this will really work best. And it didn't. And then when it turns out, I said, oh God, I never saw it that way. Thank you. That is really how it needed to happen. But I want to tell you, run toward it. Run in his victory. Last thing, this next slide, please. No enemy will ever be defeated while you only look at the size of the giant. But next slide. But no enemy will ever prevail when you only see the size of God. Where's your focus? Anybody got a penny in your pocket? A 1 cent piece? If you have, take it out. This little copper coin, or whatever metal it's made with now, is 19 millimeters in diameter, basically 3/4 of an inch. Not much in value, not much in size. But did you know, given the wrong focus, this is bigger than Mount LeConte? You see, if I went out and got a great view of Mount LeConte, the tallest peak in the Smokies, if I closed one eye and started bringing this penny closer and closer and closer, I can block out a whole mountain. Which is bigger? The mountain will always be bigger. But based on my perspective, this little coin can cover a whole mountain. This little coin can block the view of the heights. I want to tell you today, I want to tell somebody, move the little things from in front of your eyes. Get the little stuff out of the way. Get the little stuff out of the way and get your eyes on God. Well, you've never had a diagnosis like that. Oh, really? You want to hear about how many cancers I've had cut off of me? You want to hear about my Mohs surgeries? You want to hear about the radiation on my ear? Yeah, and it's scary. My mom's sitting back there, cancer survivor, a number of years ago. Thank the Lord. Cancer survivor, polio survivor, and she'll be 94 in a couple of months. You see, that's what God does when he shows up. But what do you focus on? You can start looking at the diagnosis. You can talk about how bad this disease is. You can talk about how bad your addiction is. You can talk about how bad the bondage is that you're in. But I want to tell you, your eyes are on the wrong thing. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. The Lord who keeps you will not slumber, and he will not sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. So says Psalm 121. I've got news for you today. If you're in that wonderful recovery program. Hallelujah. I have no childhood memories of my father. I don't share this very often. My dad left us when I was such a little guy. I have no childhood memories of him. My father was an alcoholic. If his father was not an alcoholic for most of his life, he was at least a very problem drinker. I've never been to a Celebrate Recovery meeting, but I've sat in a lot of AA meetings. I've never had a drinking problem. It took me years to be able to say, "Hi, my name's Raymond. I'm the adult child of an alcoholic." But it's not what I choose to focus on, but it's what I know I have victory over. Just because my grandfather was that way, my father was that way, I don't have to live that way. Just because I know other people who've gotten in addictions doesn't mean I have to live in addiction. Just because I have seen other people who choose to roll over and crawl into a bottle to live their life doesn't mean that when I hit a problem, I have to crawl into one. I want to tell you, Dad may have been that way. Mom may have been that way. You may be like a young lady that sings on the praise team at our church. She is a vocal music teacher at one of our local schools. And Carrie just always has this glow about her when she's singing and on the praise team. And I told her the other day, last Sunday, matter of fact, Carrie, I want to thank you for what you do and the way you get involved in the worship. And she looked at me and she said, "If you only knew my story." And I didn't know her story. She said, "I shouldn't be here today. I should be dead from drugs or alcohol. Both of my parents were addicts. All of my siblings are addicts. When my husband came, that when we were dating, he'd come to pick me up and said, 'How could you come out of this?'" She said, "I have a reason to worship because I know where I could have been, but I know where I am now." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can I help you with this? I may not know where you came from, but I know where you are right now. And the better news is I know where you're headed. And it's better than anything we've ever tasted. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Stand with me, please. What's your giant? It's my kids. It's my grandkids. It's a medical diagnosis. It's a financial problem. It's a work issue. We've all got our problems. They're just what they are. I came by to tell you today, giants can die. I came by to tell you today, you don't have to live in the fear of a giant, running away from it, living under the dread of hearing the giant's voice every day. In the name of Jesus, there's a victory. By the power of the Holy Spirit, there is victory. And I'm talking to somebody, there's victory for you today. "Well, you know, Brother Hodge, somebody else may get victory today." Well, I'm praying they will, but I'm praying you do too. I was preaching a sermon one time, and I thought I'd really talk to a guy. He came up to me after church and said, "Boy, if they had been here, you'd have got them." And that's how we tend to want to do it. We want it all to be for somebody else. No, I'm talking to you today. I'm talking to me today. I'm talking to every one of us individually today. God wants to do something in your life. It'll be different for each of us, what we need. But God's a big enough God with enough attributes and enough resources to meet all my needs, all pastors' needs, all Kim's needs, all of every one of our needs, and it's not going to diminish him one bit. And then tomorrow he'll still be able to do more. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if, I know it's been a special day. People got things to do. But as we had that beautiful time of worship about the name of Jesus a while ago, that same Jesus is in this house, saying to everyone who's facing a giant and who's wearied at hearing the voice of your giant, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are you ready to rest from the voice of your giant? Are you ready to walk toward your giant and not run away from it and let the Lord of glory? Remember, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. It's not what you can do. It's what he does. I'm going to pray. Then if you want us to pray with you, just come and stand out here. And we're going to come and pray and believe you to see some giants die in your lifetime. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone who's heard this simple sermon about this little Bible story today. Holy Spirit, you would not let me get away from this simple little sermon. to tell somebody their giant can die. To tell somebody they don't have to live under fear. They don't have to live in intimidation. They don't have to live under the chains of bondage. But by the power of the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus, victory comes to the people of God. Not by what we can do, but by what you do, Lord. So, Father, would you touch us today? Hallelujah, Lord. Flow across this house. Do what brings you glory. By faith, we say we can't, but you can. By faith, we say I don't have the ability, but you are divinely able. I don't have the power, but you are all powerful. Lord, do your work today in Jesus' name. Anybody else that wants to come and join us for prayer? Come on. And those of you back there, I want to ask you a question. How many of you back there at your seats, to use the analogy I've used in this sermon, has one of your giants ever been killed? Did God ever show up one day when you didn't think you could make it and he brought you out? Would you come, if you've been there, would you come and help us pray with these? These are your brothers and sisters you go to church with. They're where you were at one time. Would you come and share your faith with them as we pray one for another right now? Sing, ladies, let's pray. Hallelujah.
There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. And I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for all you've done. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. In the valley, I know that you're with me, and surely your goodness and your mercy follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battles. In the valley, I know that you're with me, and surely your goodness and your mercy follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battle. And I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for all you've done. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, yes. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. And I believe you've overcome. And I will lift my song. Battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battle. There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. And this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you do something with me? I'm not sure who came for prayer, who didn't. That's not important that we pray for you, but it's important that the Lord touch you. So will you do this? I don't want anybody to leave here without having someone pray for you today. Would you join hands with whoever's close by you? maybe your husband, your wife, maybe someone you don't even know their name. I don't care. And here's how I'm going to ask you to pray. I don't know their needs. You may not know their needs. So I'm just going to say this. Will you pray for whoever's hand you're holding like you would like somebody to pray for you? That's the best way I know to say it. We're going to pray. Pastor, come up here. I want to pray with you, and you pray with me. And you ladies over there, come on, join us. This is a day of victory. This is a day of bondage breaking. This is a day of overcoming. This is a day of dead giants. Hallelujah. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up the hands of the man of God. There are souls already in heaven because of his faithfulness. There are those who will be encouraged because of the work that he does. Now, strengthen my brother. Oh, my Father, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on him and his wife, on his family. Let him have creative thoughts and ideas. Holy Ghost, let his mind be open to hear your voice every day, every hour. Let him walk in the footsteps ordained of him. Lord, let this church be led into manifold victory as they follow the man of God who's been called here. And Father, we pray for every person in this house. No more words of intimidation. No more words of fear and unbelief. But let this be the day that the victory of the Lord comes. That the assurance of the Lord comes. That the manifold power of the Lord fall fresh on every person in this house. You lying devil of hell, victory belongs to the people of God. And we thank you, Lord, for that victory today. We bless you, Lord, and we give you praise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Pray for your dad in just a moment. I mentioned this to Pastor before service. The man who built this building, your pastor then, Sam Youngblood. A lot of you, some of you remember Pastor Sam. I think it was a week ago Friday. I called Sam. Sam and Ruth are unable to care for themselves right now. Sam has cancer and he's very weak. They're staying with their daughter, Melody. And my heart was just heavy for Sam Youngblood. He'd been my friend for longer than a year. He's the one we'll talk about. Called him. I said, Sam, just want to tell you I love you. I appreciate your ministry. You've been a friend through the years. I just want to pray for you. I want to tell you, I called to pray for him, to encourage him. He started getting a hold of God. He encouraged me. I mean, I want to tell you, he may have been weak and couldn't be very loud, but I want to tell you, that old war horse came out at that time. And I want to tell you, as I say that, to encourage you to pray for your former pastor and Ruth and lift them up. They both need a physical touch. Is it okay if I share about her dad? Supposed to have been here to preach this morning. Fail. And this morning you heard the word. He can't walk and then possibly not walk again. What? Well, we're going to believe the one who created him. Will make his body work the way God of glory created it to work. And that his strength will come. That the ability to walk will come. The ability to stand and proclaim the word of the Lord will come. That giant's going to fall in front of him. Stretch your hands this way, church, and pray for her dad, Father. You lying devil of hell. We refuse to accept this. We hear that victory belongs to the people of God. Let his body begin to function the way the Lord of glory made it to function. Let nerves that may have been separated be put back together. Let strength that is gone return. Lord Jesus, that he will stand and declare the good things of God. And I rebuke the worry and the fear that would come to this family, the questions, the what ifs, the what was. But Lord, we're going to thank you for the what will be. The victory of the Lord to fall and to flow into the life of this man of God. Thank you, Lord, for a healing report.
Come on, somebody. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just say, this too has to praise the Lord. No matter what it is, it has to bow before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. This too has to praise the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this amazing word that you have given us today. What a timely word that we needed to hear. And God, no matter what we're going through, our eyes are on you. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are with us through every step of the way. God, we pray your anointing to be with us as we leave this place today. Let us raise our head high and recognize that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Lord, we are with you. You are with us, Lord. We honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you give God praise? Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Brother Hodge. God bless you. Good to see you, Gail. God bless you, guys.